This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by everybody, but on the mics today I have
Harvey Niveraj
and
Phil Liu,
with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get in touch regarding the story of how going cashless or creating a cashless society could stamp out corruption, let us know. Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Oh, do you want to give us some messages?
Yeah, so these on WhatsApp, this is from Karen Wong, who says infrastructure and education must be established first before going cashless. Robert Lim says that it will not eradicate corruption. There are such things as proxies and offshore accounts. Management and handling of cash has associated costs. However, many Malaysians are unbanked and i.e. does not own a bank account. BNM has an initiative of bank representatives. There's one from Farid who says, cashless ending corruption? Question mark. Have you been in Malaysia? Malaysia boleh.
Oh, dear.
You know that comment, though, about most Malaysians being unbanked? I don't know if it's most Malaysians. Did he say most?
There was a very high percentage, I remember reading.
Many. Many. Okay, many. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very high percentage.
Not, yes.
Okay, let's move on then. Story number three, Frida.
All right.
Want to be a good leader?
Yes.
You better learn how to follow.
Yes. This is Tarina Allen, from Arvis Institute, not Arvin. This is an article from Fast Company, and she says that the professional world epitomizes leadership. No matter what industry you're in, being a leader is a holy grail of personal and professional career success. As a result, most people want to become one, and we glorify the journey of those who do make it to the top. As for the followers, we barely give them another thought, and this is a big problem. For starters, you don't just wake up one day and become a leader. Having manager, director, or vice president title doesn't make you one. Becoming a leader tends to involve a long and ongoing process, and that starts with being a good follower. He gave a couple of pointers here about what we can do and understanding the importance of followership. So followership here is a key component to leadership. So followers are not inferior to their leaders, and leaders are not superior to their followers. Leaders don't always have extra information and knowledge that their followers don't have access to, especially in this day and age, right? They don't live in an alternate universe. They're flawed human beings just like their followers. There's real value in followership. If I offered a workshop on followership, that response would likely be very poor. Why? Because we don't put a lot of worth on their skill, and we don't give a lot of respect to people who excel at following. Think about it. He said Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Martin Luther King didn't become household names through their own efforts alone. They're committed and dedicated worker bees who helped them rise to occasion. So what she's saying here is followership is necessary, important for anything worthwhile to happen. And two, you can't succeed with leadership skills alone. If you want to create a high-performing organization, stop demonizing followers. Brian Rook, who's an organizational development specialist, wrote the following in a 2016 post for the Association of Talent Development. Just as we have effective and ineffective approaches to leadership, we have effective and ineffective approaches to followership. And just that concept alone indicates that followership is not reactive or simply assigned, rather it's a position selected by those individuals who pledge their followership through a project, job role, group goal, other shared desire for an outcome. So this interdependence matters. Neither the follower nor the leader gets an automatic placeholder, designates one as being better in cognitive, social, emotional, intelligence skills. Neither brings any special powers to deliver on organizational goals without coordinating with the other. So yes, for it to work, both parties need to work together synchronously. Third one, and the last one, the best followers make the best leaders. When you're assessing others for effective leadership, look for the individual who has been a great follower. Being a good follower teaches one how to value someone else's opinion, consider the input of others, and develop emotional intelligence. Someone who isn't an effective follower probably won't care about the needs of others or even ask for their thoughts. They're more likely to see their employees as beneath them as someone there just to serve and elevate their needs. So people who fail to value followership will never value you, because they will decide they've become a leader and that you should just be thankful to be able to work for them. The best followers make the best leaders because they view the people they lead as their equals, people with their own minds, thoughts, and talents. They value the contributions of each individual employee. Being a good follower helps you to see others as leaders in their own right, which is exactly what you need to do when you're in charge of a team. Leadership isn't about expecting those around you to cater to your every need. It's about identifying your team's potential and maximizing them as you work toward a shared goal together. I think it's very interesting, conversation as we're looking at, even with the change in government and all that, right? Because we go to an as a prime minister, but it's the followers that made the change, right? And understanding that our opinions do matter, and I do think that they're listening to us, and all that.
Isn't it one of the things where they say if you're not a good listener or follower, then you're a boss, but if you are, then you're a leader? So I think this is what it means, right?
It kind of boils down
to that.
Yeah,
boils down to that, yeah. So it's whether you're a boss or leader, so whether you instruct people to do things for you or you allow people to work with you.
The part that you were talking about how somebody, you should be thankful if you're working underneath them, and you know, that kind of, I've had a boss like that, I'm sure at some point we all have, you know.
It's, they're called cats.
But the problem with that is, you know, I mean, it's okay, these people are very good at assuming getting their work done and getting stuff done and organizing, whipping people into shape and all that kind of thing. The problem with that is that you lose respect for these people over time. Mm. And then when they come to you for help and one thing, you know that your life is going to be difficult during that period. And, you know, it's better just to have a relationship that's symbiotic, you know.
Right.
They need your help. You need their help to get this company through whatever. Mm. You know, I don't think it's a good idea to be talking down to people and assuming that you are better than them.
So that's okay. I also notice that a lot of people who get promoted who are very good at a particular skill, they get promoted to manager role and they start managing people. And to their unfairness, they weren't taught managerial skills. They weren't taught leadership skills.
Yeah.
Just because you're good at a particular skill in selling, for example, and you're promoted to sales manager doesn't mean you're good at leading a sales team.
Yeah.
And so not enough effort is also put into making this transition for people. And then you see that they falter at this new role because, you know, their core strengths was actually in selling, right? So that's the other thing as well. The other side of the coin, when you say, oh, he's a boss and he's a leader and you know, and a lot of times they're not aided in making that transition.
Right. Messages, Arvin, what have we got?
Yeah, so on Twitter, this comes from Naz Amin, who says, in a way, yes, because cashless means electronic and it will always leave a trail while cash doesn't. Jaselina Ahmad says, a little bit, people would need to get more creative so the lazy ones won't bother anymore. There is one from Sean who says, could be it's easier to destroy paper trails when using cash. Going digital with the right control system could significantly reduce this risk.
The one from Oliver there, he says, not really. It just gives them more options to transfer money. One can create multiple accounts and sub-accounts. They can close those accounts at any time they want to close the paper trails. The exact scammer MO, create one account, withdraw it, and then close it. Rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point. Fair point. Do keep the messages coming in, though, folks. We've got one final story to hit on today. It's about how blockchain could be the key to Africa's renewable energy plans. Let us know what you think about the going digital, going cashless. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Let's take a music break. We've got some Jamestown Revival with Revival. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.